And Zeus loved it and made it his oracle, one revered by men. And from this place mortal men bring back all oracles. Whoever comes there questions the immortal god, and brings gifts and returns with good auguries. Hesiod, Catalogues of Women. Epirus. 7th year of the reign of Agamemnon of Mycenae, 1287 BC. Sheer cliffs rise around us, bleak and barren under sullen winter skies, the rock grey and forbidding as we edge through a narrow ravine, with icy water surging past us, just a few feet below. It's teeming with rain and treacherous underfoot, so we're roped together, though by now I'm worried we're doubling the risk, not halving it. If one of us goes, we probably both will, and Ithaca will lose her prince, and my sister's worthless husband will be king when Laertes dies. I refuse to let that happen. Bria's leading the way, a lean form blurred by the torrential rain and the river's rising by the moment. We need to get through this section of the ravine before we're engulfed. It's madness to be travelling in such conditions, which is why we're doing it. No one will dream we're here. The plan seemed audacious, brilliant even, with a real chance of disrupting our enemy's schemes. But right now I'm thinking it's my worst idea ever.
You all right?
Bria's high-pitched shout reaches me in broken snatches. I nod back as I grip the rock wall with bloodless, frozen fingers, clinging to water-polished crevices and ledges, hunched over against a fierce headwind as we round a spur. And there the ledge ends, the floodwaters boiling at our feet in the rock face upriver, undercut and smooth as polished bronze. With no other choice, we're forced to climb. We struggle upwards, lugging our packs, muscles straining and skin numbed by cold. After what seems an eternity, we reach the top of the cliff and exchange weary looks before slogging on. From here, the going is easier, if clambering steeply uphill through dense undergrowth, choked with fallen tree trunks and hidden boulders, counts as an improvement. Above us, gaunt pines sway and moan in the howling wind. Eventually the forest gives way to deep, mushy snow, through which we plough, soaked and bone-weary, until we crest a barren rise blasted by driving sleet. Even now there's no time to rest. Belting our thick winter cloaks more tightly around us, we descend into the valley. It's dusk by the time the snow-covered scree yields to tangled scrub and forest, and dark when the pines give way to gnarled oaks, girded with drifts of rain-pocked snow and icy mud. The occasional wink of light ahead tells us we're getting close. We're moving slowly now, every nerve at screaming point. We've risked much to reach this place undetected, and it would be a bitter reward for our labours to be discovered. Suddenly, halfway up a shallow incline, the ground drops away into a hollow almost hidden by branches, and we find ourselves at the mouth of a natural cave, where someone once carved an icon to Hera, the mother goddess, on a boulder. Someone else has defaced the icon and kicked the withered offerings aside, but the cave's dry.
Thank the goddess,
Bria exclaims, and she doesn't mean Hera. She and I are both sworn to Athena, who isn't exactly a bosom friend of Hera's right now.
Odysseus, where's that flask?
She adds, draping a rain-soaked arm around my shoulder. I give the diamond, Bria's a body-jumping spirit, a grumpy look and remove the arm. I'm having difficulty dealing with her just now. It's not that we've had a new falling out. Being pissed off with each other is our natural relationship. It's just that right